Y'all look like y'all taking a dose of castor oil. Let me get my water. Boy, it's good. I appreciate being here this morning. Had a good time Wednesday night. I enjoy people. Love being around them. And I miss Brother Billy. He's a sight. Okay, can anybody be right with God and be in Gulf Shores, Alabama? There ain't no way. Sister Miller, I want you to know that I don't blame you for how Billy came out. She is my buddy. I love Miss Miller. Hey, got your Bibles? Hold them up this morning real high. Hold them up there. Thank God. Amen. Wonderful. All right, be opening your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25. I preached at the barn last night. My voice is a little bit gone, but I enjoyed being there. If you ever get a chance, if you want to hear a good group of people, it's called the Midnight Cry. They have a big upright bass, not no hypocrite bass. Y'all know what that is? But I mean a big upright bass. Then they have a banjo player. Then they have a mandolin player. Then they have two guitar players. And I mean, and the ladies, and I mean they are, ain't that right, Cliff? Ain't that good, Cliff? He must not like bluegrass music. Boy, I love it. I love it. But anyway, I love people that know what they sing and are singing and they live the life that they say they live. Them old boys love the Lord. I'm in Isaiah, please, chapter 25. But I told them over there last night at the barn, I heard about this little boy. I was talking about this morning about how that we ought to let the Lord heal our emotions. 1 Timothy 1 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, but of a sound mind. I heard about this little boy always, he rode his wagon. He'd ride this wagon down the bottom of the hill, get down to the bottom of the hill, and the wheel would fall off. And every time he would say, well, Lord, have mercy. Drag that wagon back up to the top, ride it to the bottom, and the wheel would fall off. He'd say, Lord, have mercy. This preacher lived down at the bottom of the hill. He came running out there and he said, son, quit saying, Lord, have mercy. Quit taking the Lord's name in vain. The little boy said, well, what would you want me to say? He said, well, why don't you just try saying, praise the Lord? Little boy drug the wagon back up on top of the hill, come down the hill just getting it, got down the bottom of the hill. All four wheels just fell off his little wagon. And the little boy said, well, praise the Lord. And all four wheels just jumped back on the wagon. And the Lord and the preacher said, Lord, have mercy. So every now and then y'all holler, praise the Lord. I'm in Isaiah, please, chapter 25 and verse 1. Hey, we've been out in the world, and I realize that some of y'all work on jobs and you hear language and sometimes it just gets tiring and weary. Will y'all agree with that? Sometimes just the drudgery of life, I mean fighting the battle, we all get weary. So what I want to do this morning is Isaiah chapter 25 in verse 1. I want to try to see if I can help you carry your load. Verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. The counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. Look down in verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is in a storm against the walls. Look down in verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Hallelujah. And the rebuke of all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Father, I pray this morning, God, speak to my heart. Hide me behind the cross. And may they see Jesus in a way that we've never, ever seen him. Lord, tonight, I pray this morning, encourage the believers. God, I pray, hang the lost out over hell. And then, Lord, bless every God-called preacher, every missionary. I pray, Lord, give them a special blessing this morning. But, Lord, help me to be a blessing to these people. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, go back to Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. Now, if you have an old Scofield Bible, it's page 734. All right, now, I want you to stay, keep your finger there, and look where he says, for thou hast done wonderful things. There's not a person in this building could not stand up and say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. The Bible says, the psalmist said, Lord, he says, thou art good. All right, the Lord is good to us. He's good enough to let you be here this morning. Amen. He's good enough to you to let you have breath in your body. He's good enough to you to let you be a boy. Thank you. Bless his wonderful name. Have you ever thought about what a wonderful thing it is to live in America? Have you ever thought about this? Everybody's trying to get in our borders. I don't see nobody trying to leave America. But it's a wonderful place to live in this place called America. You could have been born in the dark regions of the jungles. You could have been born in Ethiopia, yet God let you be born in a place called America. Hallelujah. All right. We're talking about amazing things. We're talking about wonderful things. Look, if you would, in verses 1. Thou hast done wonderful things. Boy, right there in itself, we ought to jump up and shout and have a spell. Look down in verses 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor. Well, listen to this. Have you ever thought about this? Has it ever got in your little old brain that God gives you the ability to even have to raise your hand? Or do this for me just for a moment. Everybody do that. Just make a fist. Have you ever thought about in a millisecond your brain sends a signal to the rest of your body and you're able to do that? Hey, a stroke victim, a person that's had a stroke, would give anything in the world to be able to do that. Amen. Untold people that I've met, they'd give anything in the world just to be sitting on a pew. I go sometimes in the nursing home and here's what they'll say, or the hospital. I'd give anything just to go to church one more time. I'd give anything just to be able to go to church one more time. Well, we take so much for granted. Say amen. We do. All of us do. But notice Isaiah says, thou hast been a strength to the poor. When I think about my life and I think about where God brought me from and I think about my wife and I'm constantly always, when we walk in and it's 90, what did he get this past week? 94, Jess? Was it 94 on the heat index? Was it? When I walked in the house, I said, thank God for air conditioning. Do y'all ever do that? I did. I said, boy, thank God for air conditioning. Amen. I mean, isn't it a blessing to have a good, cool house? See, some of y'all don't remember, used to, we didn't go to bed till way up at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock of the afternoon when I was a boy. You know the reason why? To where it would cool off. Because it's so hot you couldn't go to sleep. See, some of y'all don't remember sweat running down your body. Look at y'all's faces. But used to, that's where we slept at. I mean, raise the windows. We didn't even have a fan. I never will forget when we got a fan. I thought we was rich people. I thought, glory, we got a fan, amen. Don't y'all remember, I mean, how it was, you cooled your body? Now then, we got wonderful air conditioning. But listen to this. Have you ever thought about the strength that you have in your body? That's the most amazing thing in the world. It comes from the Lord. He's been a strength to the poor. Boy, that's a blessing thing. That's a wonderful thing, amen. He's been a strength to the poor. Now, that's number one. But now, number two, look in your Bible. He's not only been a strength to the poor, but he's been a strength to the needy in his distress. Could I tell y'all something this morning? 58 years of my life, I can look back over my life and can raise my hand and say, thank God. Boy, when I look and see where God brought me from and what all God's done for my wife and I can't help but say, Lord, you're a wonderful Lord. It's an amazing thing. He's been not only a strength to the poor, but a strength to the needy, amen. Everything I have, boy, I bless his name. I told my wife this morning, and I just went through my mind. I said, Mary, does this tie match this shirt? Normally, I don't have that problem. Well, I don't. I don't let her lay out my clothes. Some men do, but I said, Mary, does this tie match this shirt? I have got a closet full of shirts. Used to only had one. But I look back, and when I go into my closet and I get my clothes and I think about my life and I think about how good God's been to me and I think about how he's been a strength to the needy, I think about how he's been a strength to the poor, and I can't help but say, bless the Lord, amen. Amen. Glory, amen. Been a strength to the poor and needy. Look where God's brought you from. If y'all don't say something, I ain't going to go nowhere. Think about it. It's amazing. I mean, amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing that he's been a strength to the poor and the needy. Man, I don't know how you, Junior, I don't have a clue what your life was like. But man, we spelt poor with four O's when I was a boy. P-O-O-O-O-R. But I'm talking about, look how God's been good to us. The lady, I don't see her this year this morning. She was going to come this morning. She was from Ohio, her and her husband. They was at the gospel barn last night. And she was talking about how nice Somerset was. She said, she's never been in Somerset. And she said, I would like to move here. I'd like to find me a house and move to Somerset. All right, watch this. Don't we take that for granted? You could be living in Chicago. How would you like to live up there where they've had over 1,100 shootings? This is June. From January till June, they've had over 1,100 shootings in Chicago. All right, but I'm talking about getting you to see the amazing grace of God and the wonderful things of God that he's, look, he's been a strength to the poor and the needy, amen. Look where God brought you from. When I was a boy brought up, I was raised by my stepdad. My mom was, my biological dad, he literally deserted us when I was 2 years old. Mama says, you can't remember when you was 2 years old. I do. I distinctly remember my biological dad, my dad, he was a career military man. I remember y'all know what a duffel bag is? My mom had pneumonia. I didn't know it at the time what was wrong with her, but my mom was crying, laying there in the bed. My brother, he's 3 years older than I, but I watched my dad, my biological dad, I watched him go through the house, open the drawers up, put his clothing in what's called a duffel bag. Y'all remember what a duffel bag was? I remember my biological dad. I didn't know what was wrong with my mama, but I remember him. He walked down the steps, closed the screen door, and never looked back. I never knew my dad, but my stepdad taught me, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, pardon me, excuse me. I don't know where I'd be at if it hadn't been for my stepdad coming into my life. He was military also. But look here. We was never allowed to waste food. We was not allowed, I don't want that, I don't like this. What is wrong with you people? Y'all took Valium? When I was a boy growing up, if we put it on our plate, we had to eat it. We did not waste food, amen. But my point in telling you that is this, we didn't know how poor we really was. But I'm glad, thank God, I was raised the way I was raised. But I'm trying to get you to see God's been a strength to the poor and the needy. Do y'all see that? You ought to thank God for your upbringing. You ought to thank God for your mom and dad. Hey, you young people, you ought to thank God for you got a mom and dad that cares enough to say, you're not going to do that. He's been a strength to the poor and the needy. He's been a strength. Look in your Bible. We're talking about amazing thing. We're talking about a wonderful thing. But now watch this. The third thing I want you to see right quick. Look what he said. Thou hast been a strength to the poor. Thou hast been a strength to the needy in this distress. Amen. But now watch this. You've been a refuge from the storm. Last night, Brother Cliff, when we was up there at the gospel barn, how many of y'all, was anybody else there other than Cliff and I? It sounded like it was raining. It sounded like it's going to take the roof off. Everybody got like a fox around a bunch of chickens. Their heads was turning, and their heads was turning. I ain't got enough sense to have fear. I just thought to myself, they're talking about the coming of the Lord, and everybody was getting all fearful about the storm about the rain, and they didn't know how hard it was raining, if the wind was going to blow it off. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about it? You're under the sentence of death. All right, if you're saved, the millisecond you're absent, you're in this world, and a millisecond you're in the other world. Whether the wind blows me away, I never will forget years ago. had this blind preacher preaching for me. He was from out of Tennessee. And I was pastoring over in Liberty then. Boy, it's the awfulest storm you'd ever seen in your life. In fact, a tornado had come through and took out about half of the county. And that night we was in the middle of a revival meeting, so Bobby, we put him into his room, and me and Mary was in the other room. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard this banging on my door. Man, he beating on my door, and he said, "Preacher!" I said, "What do you want, preacher?" He said, "There's a tornado." I said, "It's a warning." He said, "There's tornadoes in the area." I told my wife, I said, "Well, it's what I said." I said, "If it gets any worse, wake me up." And I just rolled over and went back to sleep. The next night, Bobby got up and put his clothes on, the blind preacher. And you know how wind blows through the cracks of the doors and the windows? It sounds a lot worse than it really is. So the next night, as the church, the building was full, he said, and there's tornadoes everywhere. I mean, it took out a lot of buildings and everything. He got up and told everybody in the whole building, the building full, said, "I got up and put my clothes on," said, "your preacher didn't even care if he got blown away naked." Told Bobby, I said, "What? I honestly, I don't have enough sense to have fear, all right? But I'm just saying, if a storm does take me out, amen, or if I drop over with a heart attack, I'm going to glory. Ain't that an amazing thing? It's a wonderful thing to know he's a need. He meets every need we have, amen. Let me show you this before I have a spell. Look back, if you would, in Isaiah 25, and look down in verse 4. "Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm." Don't you agree with me this morning that God, in his miraculous care, he can just drop a hedge over you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. But see, people, they don't grasp it. Now, look, don't look at me like this. I believe you ought to have strength, at least sense enough that if you see a truck coming straight at you, get out of its way. But he says, notice in your Bible, a refuge from the storm. You don't know how many times God's protected your life. Amen, sister. When you men was in the military, you don't know how many times God dropped a hedge around you and kept you safe. Amen. What I'm saying is, if you look back in your Bible, what amazing thing, what a wonderful thing it is. Now watch it. "Thou hast been a refuge from the storm," amen. Now watch it. And then he says, "a shadow from the heat." Anybody here outside me used to work on the farm? 1, 2, 3. Do y'all have a clue what it is? We didn't have ice. We take a half a gallon fruit jar. Y'all know what that is, don't you? And we take and put water in the shade. Now, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You take, Junior, you would take a half a gallon jar of water because you wasn't going to walk back to the house. There wasn't no spring, but you'd take, fill up the jar, and you put it in the shade. Put it in the shade, all right? But you drink that. Now, look in your Bible. I want you to get this. Think about how many times that God has miraculously, amazingly taken care of you. Your body's about, what, 70 or 80% water? Now think about this. Hey, watch it. He says, "and a refuge from the heat, a shadow," amen. Don't y'all remember climbing in a shadow? Don't y'all remember, boy, it'd be hot outside? Boy, when I was a little old boy, we used to work on them farms, $3 or $4 a day. Boy, and the women and the whoever we was working for, they give you $4 a day and your dinner. Whoopee! Boy, they'd cook everything in the house, and then some things that didn't cook, they'd put it. But you talk about a dinner, but then after we got done eating, you didn't want to go back to work. We'd go find and get up in a shade tree. Lay there and get so sorry. He says, "Thou hast been a shadow from the heat." What I'm trying to get you to see, these are wonderful things, amen. Wonderful things. This ought to encourage every believer in here. He's been to those that are in distress. Yeah. And then he says, "a shadow to those that are in the heat." This world out here is going to hell at a breakneck speed. I mean, the Bible says it's a broad road, it's an end of destruction, but it's a narrow road to heaven. But think about God being a shadow to you. Ain't that wonderful? See, we don't appreciate that. When you go to Israel, boy, it's hot. I mean, it is hot in Israel. Boy, and you thank God for a shade tree. To get up, but you get behind a shade, even no matter where, a bus or anything, wherever there's a shadow, it sort of relieves you of the heat. Notice in your Bible, it says, thou hast been a shadow in the heat. Now, I got to show you. Drop down to verse 8, please. Now, we're talking about wonderful things. We're talking about amazing things. He will swallow up death in victory. Thank God. Hallelujah. Not only is he a strength, but he's a refuge, but he's a shadow from the heat. But listen to me. He's victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Don't nothing ever excite you, people. Notice in your Bible. One day, death itself. Have you ever thought about Jesus conquering death? Have you ever think about he tasted death, he destroyed him that had the power of death? And guess what? He became your sin substitute that you may not never die and go to hell. Bless his wonderful name. Bless his wonderful name, amen. Notice in your Bible, now I want you to get this in verse 8. Read it with me, please. He will swallow up death in victory. But look at this. And the Lord will wipe away the tears. Anybody here ever have... Y'all ever have a crying spell? I hate it when my wife cries. Jess? When Hope is crying, here's what you do. You just say, honey, come here. You don't have to say nothing. Right, Hope? Right. See there? Boy, I Stuart, when my wife gets them crying spells, All I know to do is just hug. Hey, look here. I hate it when she cries. I mean, I feel so helpless. I don't know what to do. But hey, look at your Bible. God's going to wipe away every tear we ever had. Woo! Ain't that a blessing? Notice in your Bible, now watch this. We're talking about amazing things. Anybody here, in my mind, I can close my eyes. And I can see my mom crying. I can see my mom. I can see her just tears running down her face. My poor old grandmother, God bless her heart. We spent a lot of time with my grandma. Do y'all know what a bolster pillow is here? A pillow that covers the whole bed. Used to, as a little boy, and I'd sleep with my grandma. And she had grown men, grown boys. And she'd say, Donald, is that you? He'd say, yeah, Mom, it's me. She'd say, go to bed. A little while later, it'd be MC, she'd say, MC, is that you? Go to bed. She'd name every one of her children. But I'd be laying there on that pillow, and my grandma would be crying. She's always crying till every one of her children was in the house, in the safety of the house. And I can remember her crying. And I'd want so much to be able to not see her cry. But here it says that God's going to wipe away the tears. Go to Revelation 21. Watch this. God himself shall wipe away all tears. There's not going to be no sorrow in heaven. Isn't that a blessed thing? There's not going to be no weeping in heaven. There's not going to be any distress. There's not going to be no death in heaven. Amen. Revelation 21 verse 4. He's going to wipe away every tear. We're talking about wonderful things. Let me show you this. Watch this. Revelation 21. Look if you would in verse 4. Boy, you talk about some good stuff. Watch this. In verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeded out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the tree, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. But look in verse 3. There shall be no more curse, high glory, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. There shall be no night there. Look in verse 6, and the Bible plainly says he shall what? And reign forever and ever. But look if you would in your Bible, in chapter 20, that's chapter 22. But look in Revelation 21 in verse 4. The Bible says, and God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more crying. We're talking about wonderful things, amen. I got a man. He's got, what's that cancer, honey? I can't even think. Pancreatic cancer. And I went over to Danville Hospital to see him. Look at me for a moment. He's 80 years old. And he don't have long to live. Pancreatic cancer. They've already brought in hospice. His wife is real ill. She's in a nursing home. But the reason why I bring that up is this. There's so much disease. There's so much heartache and pain. Dementia. Just think about all. Do you ever visit people? One of the saddest things in my life is this. Is go to the nursing home and visit an elderly lady or anybody. And they'll say this. Why don't my kids come to see me anymore? Why don't my grandkids come see me no more? And you look at them and big tears will be running out of their faces. And I think about, you don't know, Brother Stewart, I thank God. I bless his wonderful name that one day there ain't going to be no more broken hearts. Did I say that right? There ain't going to be no more broken hearts. Ain't that, no more loneliness. No more. It says Isaiah 25, God hath done wonderful things for us. And to think that God would let his son come and die for us. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. I love Jesse. I'd do anything for Jess. I mean, I'd do anything for Jesse. I love him, but listen to this. God loved him so much he let his own son die for Jesse Owens. Melvin Sisson. Ain't that a blessing? Last night, these people were bringing up when I was a boy, about 15, 16 years old. You didn't want to meet me when I was 15, 16 years old. I had hair, so help me. I had black, dark. I even had hair back then. Guess what? I combed that hair back like this, and it'd be it. And I, you know, we didn't have no Brill cream. We couldn't afford no Brill cream. We used furniture polish. We did. Look at y'all's faces. Do y'all remember the furniture polish that came in a bottle? It only cost a dime. You take a little bit of that and put it in. That's when the greasy hair was in. Y'all don't remember that. Man, we'd take that furniture polish and put it on your hands, and boy, you'd do that. Not them duck tails. And you'd turn your collar up like this. And your hair would be all greasy. But listen to me for a moment. But just listen to this. They're just talking about what I was. I was a hoodlum. Wasn't a good thing about me. And yet, Jesus, in his wonderfulness and his amazing grace, died for me before I ever even, when I was a blasphemer. When I cursed God. Hey, are y'all listening to me? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be saved? Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that you've been forgiven? Yes. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, to know that. I mean, wonderful thing to know that you've been forgiven. Hey, freed from. Somebody told me about, we was talking about hell. I said, hey, there is a literal hell, but I'm not going there. Not hope so, not guess so. I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything I've done. Not because I'm a Baptist preacher. Not because I don't drink, cuss, dip, or chew. I'm going to heaven because of the Son of God who died for me, paid my sin debt. If you don't say amen, I'm going to die. I mean, glory to God. That's a wonderful thing to know you've been freed, amen. Set free. I watched that man. You know, this is sad. This is sad. That man spent 38 years of his life in the penitentiary. 38 years of his life in a penitentiary for a crime that he hadn't done. Did y'all see that on the news? How many of y'all? Some of you raising your hand. 38 years he'd been in prison. And he said, to taste of freedom, just to be, to know that you've been set free. To know that, I mean, you've been, and I use that in a sense. I mean, hey, some of you are locked up. Hey, look here. Jesus has done, he done some wonderful thing, amazing thing. But he not only frees us, but listen, he fixes us in a family. You say that again? You say, well, listen, you don't look like much. Well, he ain't done with me yet. But I'm just trying to get you to see these are wonderful things, amazing things. He frees you. Say amen. And then guess what? He forgives me and he frees me, but he fixes us in a family. And let me tell you something else he does. He and my future is secured. Amen. Last night they was asking me, well, what's the best paying job around Pulaski County? I said, I don't know. He said, you don't know? I said, I don't know what the best paying job is around Pulaski County. I said, I just know my future. He said, how do you know your future? I says, I know Christ. But I'm telling you this morning, listen to me. My future is secured. That's a wonderful thing. Say amen. My future is a knowing that I'm secure in it. In a millisecond, I'm here. Next minute, I'm in glory. Rapture occurs. He says, come up hither. We're out of here. Woo! Has God done wonderful things for you? You'd think you'd love him. You think you would rejoice, and you think you would be at the top of your lungs. You know, hey, look here. It was humorous. It was. My wife and I was at the funeral home this week. Was it this week or last? I can't keep up. Last week. This man was telling me about going up here to the Goodwill about 15 years ago, and he bought some used work clothes. And in the pocket, when he got home, was a roll of money, $10,513 in a roll. Now, every one of you be going up Goodwill. $10,513 in a roll in the front pocket. You'd say, Brother Sisson, $10,513 in the front pocket of a pair of work pants. Well, listen to me for a moment. Just get this for a moment. Think about how, you'd say, what could I do with $10,513? Now look at me for a moment. Watch this. In one sense of the word, you're far richer than that. We just don't have our inheritance. Y'all ain't getting it. We're talking about amazing things. We're talking about wonderful things. Right now, brother, sister, if I had $10,513, I know what I'd do. Well, in one sense of the word, we have a lot more than that. Amen. The bank of heaven is at it's accessible anytime you want to go to the bank of heaven. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Now watch, I want to get this to you. We're talking about amazing things. We're talking about wonderful things. He's going to wipe away the tears. All tears are going to be blotted out. When we had the funeral of that little girl, that little two-year-old girl, I don't know how to explain it to you how my heart broke. I don't know how to explain it to you. She just looked like she's laying there and had her up on a little pedestal and a little white coffin. And it looked like she ought to just open her eyes. And I couldn't help but get all teared up, and I thought, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. I understand all that. But I thought about the sorrow of the mother and the dad. But see, one day God's going to wipe away every tear. There ain't going to be that. We're talking about wonderful things. We're talking about amazing things. Did you know this, that our Lord died that you might receive an absolute full pardon of your sins? Let me say that again. An absolute full pardon of your sins. Isn't that wonderful? An absolute full pardon of your sins. Not only forgives us, he frees us, he fixes us, and our future is secured. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Brother Stewart, would you come, please? We'll sing a verse of him. I want to ask you this morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment. Thank you for coming visiting with us. Brother Billy, Lord willing, be back this week. How many of you can raise your hand and say, yes, sir, Brother Sisson, God's done some amazing things for me? Raise your hand. He's done some amazing things for me. All right, now listen to me. I want to ask you, how many of you would slip out of your seat and come this morning and say, God, from the depths of my heart, thank you that you've done these amazing things in my life, these wonderful things in my life. You're here this morning and you're unsaved. Would you let us pray for you?